Macmillan Audio presents Everything Left to Remember, My Mother, Our Memories, and A Journey Through the Rocky Mountains by Steph Jagger. Read for you by Andy Arndt. For my mother. The way you revealed yourself in the midst of your disappearance has taught me more than the sun and the moon and the swing of the ocean between them. Good God, how you've set us all free. We have instructions and a map buried in our hearts when we enter this world. Joy Harjo. Introduction. Picking up leaves. My mother has a story, one she's been carrying with her since 1966, a tale she tucked firmly inside of herself. She also has Alzheimer's. And from the moment she was diagnosed, I sensed those two things, the disease and the story, were somehow inextricable. They seemed woven together into a thick cord, and I felt if I could only untangle them, it might help set her free. I came into this world with my mother's story written into the supercoil of my DNA, like a dormant seed placed in deep soil, transferred somehow from her garden to mine. Every word of it was imprinted onto my biopolymer strands. I'm certain of it. It ran through my blood before it was blood. It was drilled into my marrow before I had bones. It was part of my contract, the fine print that the universe and my mother and little bits of my soul haggled over before agreeing to drop me into her arms. My mother would never utter much more than a word or two about it, the child she conceived with my father well before they were married, the subsequent adoption that took place, and the decades-long cover-up of their teenage faux pas. Nor would she discuss the emotions involved, if, when, or how they had ever arrived. Her lifelong dislike of words would never have let her. Nor, eventually, would Alzheimer's. So they gave the story to me. It was part of my inheritance. Growing up, I didn't know the telling of her story would be my job. I wasn't walking around as a 12-year-old thinking this was my raison d'etre. I figured that was more along the lines of wear jelly shoes and tell people what to do. Somewhere along the way, I developed a healthy dose of self-assurance and an audacious kind of bravery, but that's beside the point. The realization arrived about 25 years later, when I was walking through the woods with my mother, when she paused on the trail and told me exactly what I was to do. It was a clear day in early November. Streams of misty light were moving through the forest, and big leaf maples were dropping red and yellow clues about where we were and where we might go next. "What do you think about me writing a book about us?" I asked, as we turned onto my favorite section of trail. "About you." "A book about me?" she said in surprise. "But there's nothing terribly interesting about me." And then she paused, mid-stride. She was thinking about something. As of late, watching her do this was not unlike watching a small child with an imbucare box, a slow and imprecise process of trying to fit the blue block into the hole made for the blue block before moving on to the small red square. "Would I," she said, the question forming slowly in her brain, "would I have to write any of it?" "No, Mom," I said. "You don't have to write a single word." She looked over to me and I saw the small muscles in her face relax. She smiled at me, reached out, and took both of my hands in hers. "Oh, good," she said, while squeezing them. "I'll walk it. You write it." And with that, she stepped forward, resuming her stride. I thought for sure she would say more, but she didn't. We wound our way through a grove of especially large maples, a scattering of their leaves laying here and there on the ground. I picked one up and handed it to my mom like it was a big orange.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?